CPAC kicks off today, the Conservative Political Action Committee in Orlando, Florida. And already, Republicans are vetting candidates for 2024. But there's one big one about to take the stage this weekend that most are betting will see the bulk of the action. But does that win it for conservatives in 2024? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Trish Intel. I am Trish Regan. And like I said, big, big things happening there in Orlando, Florida. We're going to hear from a lot of key people, a lot of key conservatives, including Senator Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Rick Scott, Kristi Noem, Mike Pompeo, Tom Cotton, Marco Rubio, Nikki Haley. It's all going to be started off by Governor Ron DeSantis there in Florida. But keep in mind, everybody's watching for Sunday because this is going to be the first time that former President Trump speaks since leaving the White House. And the expectation is that he will effectively declare himself the presumptive nominee. And he's waging a kind of war, if you would, on his enemies, trying to win back Congress for 2022 with an eye on the White House for 2024. You know, this has never really happened before, to have a president leave office and then come back. But a lot of people have said that he would be the best candidate for 2024. The question is, how do they get some of the people in the middle, some of the people that crossed over to the other side last time around? I mean, you think about suburban women, for example. He's going to have to do a lot to win back this crowd that he got in 16. Can he win them again in 2024? Well, he's certainly setting the stage early, as I said. But there are other contenders out there. And when you think about the vice presidential role, interestingly, Mike Pence is not going to be at the CPAC convention. He allegedly declined an invite, had another obligation. But there's plenty of people on this roster, from Nikki Haley to Mike Pompeo to Kristi Noem. And all of these people might have a lot of appeal there on the ticket as a vice presidential nominee. It'll be interesting to see whether Mike Pence, however, gets into things in 2024. Anyway, things kicking off this weekend, and it's a pretty big deal because, as I said, the first time the president has appeared since leaving the Oval Office, and the expectation is that he is going to effectively plant the flag and say, listen, I'm back, and this is my party, and I am going to do everything I can to win the White House again in 2024 and do everything I can in the interim to help win back Congress. Listen, I mean, there's a lot of policy issues right now at stake. And, I realize this has become a kind of personality contest. And the left got the upper hand on that one. They really did, in terms of painting him in a very negative light, with so many people that would have perhaps voted for his policies, but couldn't get beyond the personality issue. And so they made 2020 entirely about personality, as opposed to about the issues. The question is, as we go forward now into this new administration, I don't think that's where the country is. I mean, I really do not think that people believe in sort of this wealth transfer that's being talked about so avidly, or any of these other policies that are going to put effectively the middle of the country in a very vulnerable spot. So we shall see. All eyes, though, on CPAC in Orlando, Florida. Coming up, everyone, why are there no women calling out Governor Cuomo in the Democrat Party? I mean, we did see Jen Psaki say, you know, not cool, right? And that should be investigated. But in general, we don't have any leaders that are women in the Democrat Party standing up for this woman who says he tried to get her to play strip poker. I'm on it next. Oh, you know, if the tables were turned, right, we'd see more than just Jen Psaki having to answer the Fox reporter's question. I mean, good for him for actually asking the question, because no one has been willing to say boo about Cuomo. This entire scandal, right, with the nursing homes, effectively just shoved right under the rug. And if it weren't for one of his top right hand people making a giant error by admitting to a whole group of Democrats on a phone call just before the AP came out with news that actually 40% more than they had ever reported of people with COVID-19 were sent to nursing homes to recover, thereby, you know, quite possibly infecting thousands of people, creating thousands of deaths that were really needless, and then lying about it. And then, oh, it gets better, saying Trump made me lie about it, right? They were so worried that his Department of Justice was going to launch an investigation that they had to lie about it. Anyway, that whole scandal came out. We didn't hear anything from Democrats And now, in fact, when you get to Jen Psaki, right, and she was specifically asked about that, she basically brushed that one off. Well, now we're talking about allegations of sexual harassment by one of his staffers, front page of the New York Post, actually front page of the New York Daily News as well. And yet, why are no Democrat women coming out and saying anything? You know, we haven't heard from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We have not heard from Nancy Pelosi. We haven't heard from Kamala Harris. I mean, you think about if this was reversed, right? If this was a Republican, you'd hear from everybody, right? You'd definitely hear from all the Democrat women. And so it's once again kind of this case of double standard. And, you know, they ought to be willing to back the alleged victim here, at least hear her out. And yet there's very little evidence that they're willing to do that. We'll see as time goes on. But Governor Cuomo is clearly losing some of his luster that he may have previously had. Coming up, I want to get to the markets because we've got a market environment that's getting increasingly nervous. I've got one strategist saying he thinks it's 1776 on the S&P, and that's where we belong. I'll explain after this. Investors on edge as we head into the weekend right now. Wow, the market sure took a beating on Thursday. And it's because, believe it or not, good news is somehow now bad, right? We actually got very good news on the employment front. We're seeing a leveling off, if you would, in the jobs market. Unemployment claims dipping further below what people had anticipated. Meanwhile, you had durable goods orders. This is, you know, stuff like washing machines and refrigerators or airline parts or even airplanes. And wow, those numbers were really stellar. It showed a really healthy surge in manufacturing. And so you couple those two things together, which again came in much better than expected. And all of a sudden, now the market's very worried that things are actually pretty decent. And if things are pretty decent, you know what that means? That means Jerome Powell and company are going to pull back, even though Jerome Powell and the Fed have told us that they are there, ready, willing, and able. And they do not think inflation is a problem, nor do they think the economy's out of the woods yet. So even though he said this, people are looking at the real data and they're saying, uh-oh. And so you saw this pullback in equities. You also saw bond yields spike, right? Because investors are starting to get nervous that you're seeing some of this inflation. And at some point, this is going to get away from everyone, including the Fed. I know the Fed thinks they can master this whole thing, but the truth is they can't. Once inflation starts, it's very difficult to curb. And if you consider the fact that we're already near record low rates, there's very little in the way of ammunition that the Fed has to really goose this economy if they need it. But again, they probably won't need it. If anything, it's the reverse. It's a situation in which you are going to see escalating higher interest rates. You know, keep in mind the 10-year, which last year, 10-year yield was around 1.3%, jumped up to 1.5% and change in Thursday's session. Well, that's an important thing to know. It's a pretty big jump in just the span of a very short amount of time. Meanwhile, don't forget that so much debt is priced off of that, right? Mortgage debt, for example, or corporate debt, credit card debt, even. Everything is based off the 10-year yield. And so if the 10-year bond starts inching up in yield, well, you're going to see an effect through the rest of the economy. And you're going to see higher interest rates everywhere. You know, one of the reasons this market has benefited so much in this environment, despite the fact that some of the fundamentals have been quite lousy, right, over the last several months, is because investors have been looking forward to a better economic environment. Well, it may be that that better economic environment is coming sooner than they thought. And as a result of that, the market has gotten ahead of itself. You think about the S&P, I mean, we're trading it roughly 30 times earnings. That's historically really high. I mean, historically, on average, you trade it like 14, 15 times earnings. The price to earnings ratio is now somewhere around 30 there on the S&P. So this just says maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. There's an interesting piece by my friend Neil Grossman, investor, economist, physicist, you name it, a brilliant, brilliant guy, former central banker as well, out of Norway. And he has a piece on TrishIntel.com. I encourage you to read it because he thinks 1776 is the price target you should have on the S&P. He's getting really nervous about these markets and he explains why. So I encourage you to go there, TrishIntel.com. Make sure you sign up for the email. Make sure you download this podcast and you subscribe. You subscribe to this podcast because we need to make sure, whether it's economics or politics, the truth is being told. Thanks so much for listening and I'll talk to you tomorrow.